We're now halfway through the Sabbath summer, the summer of resting in God and celebrating Him. Our goal has been to have the best summer ever. So I'll ask all of you, how's your summer going so far? Glad to hear it. Has God given you the summer you wanted? Okay, so that's our question. Has the Lord given us the summer we wanted? And if you're a guest here and you haven't been with us for the past month, we're talking about the Sabbath summer. My more general question to you would be, does the Lord always answer your prayers? Father Michael White, he tells a story about his parish losing all of their original staff. They were so dysfunctional and negative that they all either quit or they were fired. He tried hiring better people. He always failed. So he gave up hiring, and he agreed. He took a pledge even. I'm going to work with a smaller staff, even though the parish needs a bigger one. One day, his assistant recommends they hire a man, a great man named Chris. Father Michael refused. His assistant asks, will you at least pray about it? So Father Michael that weekend takes it to prayer. He begged the Lord for guidance, and he asked, why won't you give me the people I need to do the job you want me to do? He kept on praying that during the weekend, and then God responded strongly. He said, I'll send you the right people when you're ready to treat them right. So we have two questions. What are we asking the Lord for that He's not giving us? And then, where is He asking us to change? I love the introduction of the gospel today. It says, someone in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. Fair request, but Jesus says no. He says, friend, who sent me to be a judge or arbitrator over you? And he implies the reason, and the very next thing he says, the reason why he won't do it is because the man is greedy. He says, take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. So there are two truths we can discover here. The first one is, when the Lord doesn't give us something we're asking for, it's not because He doesn't care. It's because He wants to give us what we really need. So Father James Sullivan, he points out in the Gospels, whenever someone goes to Jesus and they tell him what to do, he replies to them and he tells them what they really need. So 2 weeks ago, we heard about St. Martha. St. Martha complains, Jesus, tell my sister to help me with the work. And Jesus tells her what she really needs. Her problem is not her sister. What's her problem? She's worried and she's anxious. St. Peter, after the miraculous catch of fish, he tells the Lord, Lord, leave me, for I'm a sinful man. Jesus responds, do not be afraid. What does he really need? He needs more trust. He needs more courage. And finally, today, we just heard that man in the gospel. He's asking for the settling of a family dispute. What does he really need? He needs more generosity. The second thing we can pull out of this is that Jesus says to be on guard against what kinds of greed? All kinds, he says. So the gospel is clearly about greed for money and material possessions, but he's also talking about selfishness, because at the end of the gospel, he talks about those who store up treasures for themselves. So possessing things isn't a problem, but the man in the parable, he keeps it for himself, that rich harvest. But Joseph, I don't know if you remember in the Old Testament, Joseph had this rich harvest. Who did he store it up for? The people. Because the time would come when there would be a famine, and he would use that warehouse to feed the people. And finally, Jesus is also talking about greed for pleasure, because the fool in the parable, he uses the famous hedonist maxim, relax, eat, drink, be merry. So hedonism, that is the philosophy. A lot of Canadians love that philosophy. Immediate gratification, pleasure, having fun. Now, those three things, they can be good, but not if they're the goal of our life. Not if they're obtained sinfully, because we're meant for more. We're meant for satisfaction. We're meant for joy. We're meant for happiness. If God the Father isn't giving us what we're asking for, He really wants to give us what we need. For well over a year now, I have been desperately trying to hire great spiritual leaders for our parish, because we need them to grow, we need them to reach our vision. We need this. I'm going to share this story with you just because it's been one of the most painful experiences of prayer for me in my whole life. So I've offered up a lot of novenas for this intention. I've offered a lot of masses for this, and I've asked a bunch of you, can you pray for this intention? We need this, and you have, and I thank you. I've talked to many people, a lot of people, have you thought about working here? Nothing ever works out. And so, this has led to a deep frustration in me, and so I turn to Jesus, I say, Lord, what's going on? This is not something frivolous, this is something spiritual, this is something good, this is for the mission, this is your mission, Lord. Why can't we get the right people? And the answer I perceived in prayer is, I'm not a good enough leader to get other great spiritual leaders. Now, that might be tough, it's tough for me to hear, but it's true. And it's actually really what I need to hear. Yes, I want other great spiritual leaders, but I need this first because it compels me to keep on doing God's will, to keep on loving, and to keep on growing. So I need to be better first. And that's what I really need. Jesus uses a beautiful phrase that captures what he's trying to accomplish in us when he says no to us. He talks about being rich toward God. To be rich toward God, what does that mean? St. Cyril of Alexandria says it means to be virtuous. So we use this term all the time. Just a reminder, what is a virtue? A virtue is the quality of a person who does something good repeatedly, so much so that it becomes a part of their character. So let's say we're always the kind of person who tells the truth. Even when it's hard, we will always tell the truth. And we do that good thing repeatedly. If we do that repeatedly, so much so, it actually becomes a part of who we are. We build up the virtue of honesty, and we become honest people. But let's say, actually, we're the kind of people, we lie a lot. We don't mean to hurt people, but it's just easier. And we don't want to get in trouble. So we lie repeatedly. And we lie consistently. It builds up the opposite characteristic, not a virtue, but a vice. And we build up the vice of lying. And so what happens is, lying becomes part of who we are. We become liars. That's who we are. What the Lord is saying to us, we typically ask him for things. We're always asking for material things. And he's saying, what you really need is virtue. You need more faith. You need more hope. You need more love. You need more generosity, discipline. You need more courage. So the Lord is saying, I want you to be spiritually rich. And I'm going to offer you now three ways to become spiritually rich. Here's the first one. Reflect. Reflect. Once upon a time, there was an American banker who made a lot of money, but his life was busy, noisy, and stressful. During a vacation to Mexico, he met a simple fisherman, but the fisherman would only fish in the morning. Thinking this strange, the American asked him, "Why don't you stay out there longer and catch more fish?" The fisherman replied, "There's enough for his family," and he traded the rest for what they needed. The American asked, "But what do you do with the rest of your time?" The fisherman replied, "In the morning, I like to sleep late. When I wake up, I fish a little, mostly just for the pleasure of fishing. In the afternoon, I play with my children and take a siesta with my wife. In the evenings, I have dinner with my family, and then when my children are sleeping, I stroll into the village where I sip wine and play guitar with my friends." The American scoffed, and he said, "I'm a Harvard MBA. I can help you. You should fish longer every day. That way you'll catch more fish and make more money, and you can buy a bigger boat. With a bigger boat, you can make even more money, and then you can buy a second boat and hire a man to work the second boat." The fisherman asked, "But what then?" The American replied, "We're just getting started with two boats. You'll be able to catch more fish, you'll make even more money, and before you know it, you'll have a whole fleet of boats." The fisherman asked, "But what then?" The American said, "Before long, you can sell your fish direct to the cannery and make more money. As your fleet expands, you can build your own cannery, move to Mexico City, and manage your enterprise." "But what then?" The American says. "By then, your business will be one of the great ventures of the industry. You can move to New York City and manage your empire from the epicenter of the business world." "But what then?" The American didn't know what to say. But then a thought crossed his mind. He said, "Well, then, you can move to a small coastal village. You could sleep late and fish just for the pleasure of fishing. In the afternoons, you can take a siesta with your wife. In the evenings, you can have dinner with your family and you could stroll into the village, sip wine, and play a guitar with your friends. So a lot of us are going around in circles in life. And to get out of going around in circles, we need to reflect more.